This is Van Jefferson, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the epic Roster Watch podcast brought to you by RosterWatch.com and presented by MyBookie.ag, where you can use promo code ROSTER for a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000 to get all your big action. And all the big action tonight, Byron, is going to be on the waivers tonight or tomorrow, depending on where you play. I mean, where do we even start, dude? Just if we, you tweeted out it was a bloodbath week two. In fantasy football, it's a bloodbath around the whole league, really. But fantasy football, man, like it's almost if your team wasn't hit, you're probably in the minority. I say majority of fantasy owners got hit at least somewhere. What the hell's going on, brother?
Well, it'll forever be known as Bloody Sunday, Alex. That was an ugly week two there, man. And, you know, injuries in the healthier players is always a key component to performing well in your fantasy football league. But, I mean, literally, I think you could go into your league standings right now and see that probably like half the teams in your league just got like a crowbar across the shins, man. And, I mean, just having a healthy team at this point is like going to be just a huge advantage and a blessing. And we'll see. I'm curious to see. I would expect that a lot of this is due to the streamlined off season. And you would think there'll be a tipping point here where guys finally get into shape and maybe these injuries let up a little bit. So maybe if you were able to get through unscathed here, you know, kudos to you. You got lucky and keep your foot on the pedal here. And if not, like you said, Alex, it's a monster week on the waivers because of that. And I mean, you said, where do you start? I think it's easy where to start. I mean, we started last week by telling you guys that one of the best ways to work this sheet every week is to look for the guys that are maybe a little bit lower down and watch them rise up the sheet from week to week. And I mean, one of those guys last week that I made the argument I thought could have lived at the very top of the sheet last week, Alex. Well, he's at the top of the sheet this week, and it looks like he's a bona fide young running back in an excellent situation with an absolute nut matchup this week. And so I'd like to begin. I think it's easy to begin with Joshua Kelly of the Los Angeles Chargers.
Our boy, the all-senior bowler, who if you've been watching us here or you've been listening to the podcast, you know that we've been talking about Joshua Kelly since the Senior Bowl. We've been talking about him since late January. He's owned in every single one of my leagues because he was drafted in every single one of my leagues. And, you know, this is one of the benefits of, you know, being a Roster Watch member year round was, you know, getting to get the intelligence from right there on the ground in Mobile, Alabama, that this guy, Joshua Kelly, could actually do something. And I never thought of Justin Jackson as any sort of real threat to what he would be able to do as a compliment to Austin Ekeler. And I think now that, you know, it's just like one of these deals, like now that you've seen it, kind of like with Justin Herbert, which was just so wild. I haven't talked to you about that, but really wild to see Justin Herbert, another senior bowler that went on to the Chargers, another all senior bowler from this last year. Seeing him out there, like, I just, like, you can't, it's just hard to put the toothpaste back in the tube, right? Like, it's hard to put the genie back in the bottle. You've seen it. Tyrod Taylor is not going to take that job back. I don't give a shit what Anthony Lynn said after the game. I mean, Anthony, can you believe that Anthony Lynn after that goddamn game? Just as an aside, they asked him, you know, what he'd seen out of Justin Herbert, and this asshole goes on to say, "Well, we ended up losing the football game, so like I don't think I saw much out of him." When it was his dumbass play calling down at the goal line. When didn't they have first and goal at one point down there before they had to kick a field goal after they'd already seen Butker already kick a 58-yarder, and they know that Patrick Mahomes could fling it down the whole field with two flips of his wrist? You know, I heard Michael Lombardi talking about this on his podcast, but how do you not, as the head coach, call down to your offensive coordinator? What's his name? Shane Steichen. That's right. Right. Steichen. How do you not just call that guy and say, all right, let's get our three best plays, maybe our four best plays, because we know that Butker can kick this thing in from fucking Dakota. We know that we don't want to let Patrick Mahomes have the football back at the very end. We know that getting him in field goal range is getting him 60 yards out. And the plays you run are jamming Joshua Kelly up the middle. It's ridiculous. And for him to say that he's not even sure that Justin Herbert's going to be the starter after he takes Patrick Mahomes to overtime is asinine to me. So that genie can't go back in the bottle. I don't give a shit what Anthony Lynn says. Joshua Kelly, Justin Jackson's not taking his job back. He's not. I mean, you give Joshua Kelly, you hang in with the Chiefs, giving Joshua Kelly 25 touches, including three targets, on 52% of snaps. It's a 50-50 split with him and Austin Ekeler, and it's a good 1-2 punch. So go get Josh Kelly. He can really, really help you out this season if you've been bit by the running back injury bug with any of this, you know, Le'Veon Bell or, you know, certainly Saquon, Christian McCaffrey, et cetera.
Yeah, I think they just have – there's a role for a guy like that with the Chargers, and we know he's just a good player, right? And I think they're going to have to lean on the run this year, clearly. And by the way, Justin Herbert looks awesome. I mean, that looks like a franchise changer. Looks like a franchise changer for the Chargers. So that's awesome for them.
Did you were you at all expecting that?
These guys look like at this point, man. It's so refreshing to see a nice, live, fresh, young arm with pop and snap come in. Especially a big body guy like that can move around. Like, I thought it was exactly what we saw at the Senior Bowl, man.
I thought this was going to be a good quarterback class for him to develop. I didn't think he was going to be able to go through his reads as well as he was and just dice these guys apart. Justin Herbert helps Austin Ekeler immensely. He helps Keenan out. We're a little bit behind today with getting this thing out, so I've been trying to just kind of catch up on the usage and the targets and stuff, but I mean, Keenan Allen back up to double digit targets. He's rejuvenating Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry went 6 for 83. You know, Austin Ekeler. You know,
Hunter Henry's had a strong start to the season. Actually,
he at least targeted Austin Ekeler four times. That's 4x with what Tyrod Taylor did versus a much weaker opponent in Cincinnati. So I think what Justin Herbert does is like this, all signs are pointing up for the Chargers offense. Joshua Kelly is still available. And I guess he has to be available in less than a certain percentage of leagues for you to put him up on here, Byron.
Yeah. So, he was available. He was available in still like over 40% of leagues. It might've been closer to 50. He was available in more leagues than I thought he would be available in. So I was very pleased to put him on.
Just none that I play in. None that I play in. Let's see. Another guy. One guy is available in one league that I play in. That's a competitive league with a lot of you assholes that I'm not that I was going to, you know, going to figure that maybe Devontae Freeman had been snatched up. What do you think, man? Devontae Freeman, New York Giants. Is he? Somebody puts a gun to your head, says, do you want Devontae or do you want Josh Kelly? What are you saying? So I see they're kind of in the same tier. I wouldn't mind picking up either of them. I think Devontae Freeman's probably a lot closer to being washed than Joshua Kelly is.
I would take Kelly.
Offensive lines, but maybe.
Yeah, I would take Kelly based on the fact that I feel really confident about playing him this week in a great matchup at home against the Carolina Panthers. I mean, else can you hope for? I mean, he's got so much juice, man. It could be close when this season's said and done. And you never know what's going to happen with the rookie, but I don't think you know what's going to happen with the veteran, old kind of tired veteran that's, you know, not been in training with the team for all these months. I mean, you see these guys going down with injuries. Who knows what's going to happen with Devontae Freeman? But I think you have to look at Freeman as a flex with some kind of RB2 upside, whether even if it's low-end RB2 upside, especially in any type of PPR format. So, look, the bottom line is people have been it's been a demolition derby, you know, people's running backs so far in the first 2 weeks. So people aren't going to have a choice but to go after Devontae Freeman this week, Alex.
What would you set the over-under on for Joshua Kelly's pricing on DraftKings this week? I just went and looked. What do you think it is?
5,700.
5K. He's going to be a smash. It's the number one matchup of the week. I just did the matchup tool. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. What about Jerick McKinnon? Now we know that Raheem Mostert is going to be out for a little while. It looks like Tevin Coleman actually is going to be out for a little bit more of an extended period than we even thought. We got our guy Ronald Martinez here in the chat saying that he's going trashy with Jamichael Hasty, another senior bowler from this year, managed by our friends over at Team Sports Agency as well. He says he's turning into a baby trash man. Juan Martinez, I don't think you're that trashy, brother.
We all do at some point, Ronald. At least the wise ones do. That's for sure.
I'll tell you what, though.
It sounds like Ronald's been following us for months, right? I mean.
Oh, Ronald Martinez. Like, oh, no, man. Ronald Martinez was a longtime Roster Watch Nation member. He actually, what is it? Fuel Off-Road? Like those hoodies Trashman and I wear around, that's his company. So yeah, I mean he's in just the care packages. So
it sounds
Martinez and fuel
sounds like off. Because that goes all the way back to our interest in Jamichael Hasty from the Senior Bowl and through the NFL draft process and a lot of good reports out of training camp. A guy with a lot of three down capability that sounds like the 49ers actually like a lot internally and. Man, they've been hit pretty hard at the top of that depth chart. So there's a little talk he might come off the practice squad. Ronald, I had you in mind, man, because Hasty made the sheet this week.
Yeah, he did. I was just checking. I'm like, I hope Byron put him on. He did put him on. But Jerick McKinnon is just right up here at the top. And I mean, it's easy to forget that Jerick McKinnon was signed at one point to a top five deal. You know, at the running back position, like Shanahan at one point went out and targeted Jerick McKinnon and paid him, you know, gave him a good contract, paid him to be a feature back. And he's going to get the opportunity here. Now the 49ers just a banged up mess of a team, but you know, on only three touches in week two on 21% of snaps, he got 77 yards and a touchdown. So he's been super efficient. You know how when
he looks great, too. Looks really good. He got a lot of pep. So I think if you're in trouble,
look, they're playing the Giants this week.
Yeah, it's something you got to really consider.
Yeah, for sure. So I know that I drafted McKinnon in one of our deeper leagues, and I'm now that Paris Campbell's hurt in one of my bottom of the roster flex spots, I've been playing around with maybe getting him in. So.
Plus Shanahan, it's just a Shanahan run game is so beautiful. It's a thing of beauty and precision, and nobody does it better, man. So you like if you think you're getting a running back with volume in that situation, you're pretty interested.
We talk on the side of the sheet of paper. It gives you recommendations for the free agent budget bid that you should put in on each of these guys, and sort of puts them in their own tiers. Jerick McKinnon, not quite in the tier with Kelly and Freeman, but man, like it's going to be a week where you're going to want to spend up. I'm surprised that you didn't put Mike Davis in the same tier as Jerick McKinnon, Byron. He got targeted more than Christian McCaffrey once he got in the game for the Carolina Panthers. Is it just because it's only going to be more of a four to six week kind of thing? Here's my concern with McCaffrey. We What if the Panthers are like 2-6 in week 8 when McCaffrey is back? Do you really think Matt Rhule and those guys are trying to kind of build for the future and everything are going to really just jam McCaffrey back in there in a lost season after they paid him so much money and committed to him for such a long term in such a long term manner?
I mean, they might take their time with him. I think ultimately,
I kind of think so. I kind of think that this could be a whole lost season for McCaffrey. Those high ankles, man. Look at Saquon last year. It was kind of a lost season. And now this is happening right in the middle of the season. It's going to be 4 to 6 weeks as it is. And the Panthers aren't going to win any damn football games. They are super bad. They're not good. The defense is just brutally awful. They're going to get run over every single week. And if they have nothing to play for by the time McCaffrey's – I worry that we're not going to get full workhorse Christian McCaffrey for the rest of the season. And if – Miles or not Miles Sanders. he's not quite a Miles Sanders. If Mike Davis, if he is, you know, if he's gonna be catching these footballs, like, I mean, what did he get 8 targets? I think he had, I mean, that's just from my memory from the game. Just looking at the box scores afterwards, he got 8 targets in that game on 33% of snaps. So, I'm excited about Mike Davis. So, I mean, I would consider him kind of right with Jerick McKinnon. You have him in a slightly different tier. I have no qualms with it. I was just sort of wondering what your line of thinking was, or whether you kind of thought about the angle I was. Maybe once McCaffrey's back, if he's not 100%, like, what's the point if you're Matt Rhule and if you're Joe Brady?
Well, I don't think you're ever going to play Mike Davis as a flex when Christian McCaffrey comes back, even if your logic prevails in this situation, Alex. So I don't know. For me, it's just the idea that it's Mike Davis, dude. I mean, we got a lot. It's Mike. How much are you going to – how people blew their load last week on Nyheim Hines. I mean, how many times are you going to touch the stove and get burned? We're talking about Mike Davis here. He's had a lengthy history of disappointment. And I think he's good in like a couple games here and there. He can be good. Can he? I know they don't have anybody else in the stable right now, so that sets a pretty good path out for him. I mean, I just think you got to be careful about going crazy on Mike Davis. And it's not a great matchup this week either. I mean, he's at the Chargers. That's a difficult matchup.
I'm looking at the rest of the sheet here and just kind of going down some of these guys, like which one of these guys down a little bit further down the sheet could we be talking about in a few weeks that we're saying, you know, is like the Joshua Kelly of last week, usually a little bit further down the sheet, but somebody that we were saying, we made specific note. I don't think that there's as strong a candidate as Joshua Kelly was last week, right? That was further
down. No, I mean, you could maybe make an outside argument for McKissick. I think you could talk about Damian Harris coming off the IR. I think you could talk maybe about LaMichael Perine with the Jets, even though I'm not interested in really in the Jets, any of the Jets players with the 10-foot pull, and, you know, probably we'll have Bell coming back into that mixture. So I think that's probably a real long shot. But I'd say Damian Harris and maybe J.D. McKissick on the running back side, Alex. Probably Harris, right?
To me, it's easily Myles Gaskin.
Yeah, it could be Gaskin.
If he has another week where he plays as much as he is, if he has one more week playing this much, people are going to finally realize that he's. I mean, is he just the starter there? Is he the starter for the Dolphins? It's just,
I don't think so.
He played 65% of snaps.
Look, I was a huge Gaskin guy when he came out of Washington, man. I actually had him ranked really similarly with Devin Singletary. He didn't have quite the elusive ability, but he had good three-down capability. He was kind of a hard, squirrely guy to get down, and not a huge guy, but built solidly for his frame. So I've always been a Myles Gaskin fan, man. So I like to see it. I just, again, it's trusting the situation in Miami.
Seven targets, 65% of snaps. Like, they're going to be behind all the time. Jordan Howard's not going to take looks away from him in the passing game and
What did they trade for Matt Breida for? It doesn't make any sense, you know. It could be Gaskin. I think that's sneaky. He's a good player. He's a good player. I think the other thing to watch, though, is, like, they're probably going to be making a quarterback change in Miami soon, too, right? They're already 0-2. Like, I don't know how much it – you know, bringing Herbert in actually seemed to help the running backs with the Chargers.
So it didn't just seem to help it. It's like – it was like a sign from God. It was like a resurrection.
Could be the same thing if Tua comes in for the Dolphins. That's sneaky. Gaskin, that's a sneaky one. I like it.
Okay.
Three down capability, man. That's what you want in your running backs.
What about the wide receivers here? You keep on having to move LaVisca Chenault up and up and up.
Yeah, I can't believe how low his ownership is. I mean,
like Joshua Kelly, drafted in every single one of my leagues.
He's just like a must-own guy. Gardner Minshew looks good. Jaguars look all right. Chenault's a big part of this offense. He didn't get the touchdown this time, but it was like eight targets, 70-something yards. I mean, that guy's a beast, man. And they got him touches. I got him some unorthodox touches this last week, too. It wasn't all targets. So I think it's exactly this is exactly what we expected leaving Jaguar. We said he would be featured early and often and frequently in this offense. We're seeing it right out of the gate. And I think it's only more good things to come for Chenault. Like, dude, if you need a wide receiver flex, he absolutely should be owned in your league, man. I would put a solid bid in on LaVisca Chenault.
Yeah. And they're, it's like you said, man, like they're letting him run the football.
Yeah.
They're letting him run the football. So, I think that's
he's a perfect player for that offense. They need a guy like that. He's a great fit in Jacksonville.
I saw some of the other guys you have up in this. Some of these other guys you have up in this top tier. I mean, there's a little bit of I leave it to your devices. I know you have your process here. What is it about? Because I see it's funny, man. Ronald Martinez Jr. in the chat is asking about this, the exact guy I was about to ask about, which is Michael Pittman Jr. Do you think Paris Campbell's just going to be back sooner than later? I mean, if it's just a MCL or a PCL, he could just be out 2 to 3 weeks, which would definitely hurt Michael Pittman Jr. And we also have guys like Mo Alie-Cox coming on. We have Trey Burton that's going to be coming off of IR.
People are talking about Zach Pascal. I mean, I like Michael Pittman. I just don't think you have to go bananas to get him.
Are you going to go bananas to get N'Keal Harry or Mike Williams?
If I needed a wide receiver, I think those are two guys you have to seriously consider thinking about spinning up a little bit on. Yeah, man. I mean, Cam Newton throwing for 400 yards looks amazing. I think N'Keal Harry had 12 targets this last week. Like, I think that situation's on the uptick, man. And then Mike Williams, a little bit hit or miss, and I'm a little bit worried about the quarterback situation. But like at the end of the day, he's a good starting receiver that's going to get a pretty good share of targets. Like, I think you could just say, I mean, he's a veteran. Like, he's just a little bit, in my opinion, if I'm looking at the season in its entirety, probably a little bit more of a reliable option than the rest of the guys on the list at that position. Not to say there aren't some guys down lower that might be able to pop or have more upside, but it's like we say every week, it's not a mandate to go after the guys at the top. Like the best strategy often is to go farm the guys from the bottom and groom them on your bench, watch their value, rise across your league and just enjoy the dividends. But not everybody has that luxury. Some people need a wide receiver this week. Like if you need a wide receiver this week or next week or, in the interim, like Mike Williams is a guy you have to look at if he's available. Mike Williams should be owned in any 12 teams.
Let me just clear this up, man. There's some people in Twin in the comments saying that they placed Campbell on IR ending his season this afternoon. It doesn't end your season to get put on IR this year. It's a COVID IR this year. It's only 3 weeks, and it's a tool that teams are using to make roster moves. So it's an MCL, PCL. Frank Reich said earlier today that he could miss some time, so he's going to miss at least 3 weeks. But he's not out for the season. You don't miss a season with an MCL, PCL.
And it's also Phillip Rivers. I mean, I don't know. I think like Pittman is a really good target this week. He's just not a guy you have to, I think, spend a boatload on in most leagues to get him, or at least I probably wouldn't,
Let's see. I hadn't really gone deep into looking at N'Keal Harry, but 12 targets. Jesus. That is,
dude, he's a beast, man. He's like, if they start feeding him, he's going to pay off, man. Him and Edelman, that's a nice combo for Cam Newton throwing the football better than I can ever remember.
We're getting some questions about whether, and we'll have, look, if you guys have questions about guys who you can drop, throw them in the chat. And at the end of the pod, I'll ask Byron about whether or not these players are droppable. There are some that I've sort of thought about myself, but we'd always do that so we can give you an idea of the players that we would drop for some of these players at the very top. But I mean, you hold on to Paris Campbell, right, Byron? I own Paris Campbell in a few leagues and I'm not dropping him in deep 12 team leagues. I think he'll be back in just 3 to 4
depends weeks. On your situation. I mean, I don't think he's a must hold, but I would probably try to hold him. By the way, Alex, the other thing I'm looking at here, the top receivers on the waiver this week, Laviska Shenault, the number 3 matchup of the week at home against the Dolphins. N'Keal Harry, just outside the top 12. It's a good matchup at home against the Raiders, 48-point expected game total. And then, I mean, Mike Williams at home against the Carolina Panthers, a top 10 matchup. Another reason to be interested in all those guys, man.
The Panthers are just so, so bad this year. It's just, I can't even, words can't describe. I'm just getting choked up even talking about it. Trying to think of a word. They really are bad.
That'd be an interesting team if they got the number 1 overall pick.
Oh, yeah. What about trying to look? KJ Hamler's an interesting kind of pickup right now, right? Cortland Sutton done for the year, and KJ Hamler's been getting a bunch of lip service from Vic Fangio. I didn't look, but I think I remember him being I thought he was somewhat involved. Oh shit, 62% of snaps and 7 targets. He was more involved than Jerry Jeudy was when they played.
Well, Jerry Jeudy came, he got banged up.
Oh, right. But yeah, 62% of snaps versus 57. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. I think Hamler's an awesome target, man. What the quarterback situation's way up in the air. That could be a half the season before we see Locke. Maybe it'll be sooner, but I didn't think that who was that Driscoll that came in? He was actually slinging it around. I mean, I don't know, man. Jeudy still was able to make some hay a little bit. So you wish Locke was in there without Sutton. You'd really feel good about Hamler, but I definitely think he's a guy you can look at this week. I mean, I would be interested in KJ Hamler if I needed an add and the other guys above him were gone.
How about the tight ends? One of our favorites, another senior bowler, Drew Sample, just comes through. It was looking like CJ Uzumo was going to be the dude to pick up, that Burrow was, going to target sort of in that same role with a Justin Jefferson, kind of over in the middle slot wide receiver / move the chains kind of guy. Do you think that Drew Sample is going to continue with this just – target monster type of play? I'm definitely interested in going out and getting him this week.
I mean, Drew Sample, the tight end that I've loved ever since we saw him at the Senior Bowl, Alex. I thought he had a big week at the Senior Bowl. It was kind of a weak tight end class, and he wasn't a player that was talked about much among the mainstream sports media, but you could definitely tell that people inside the NFL circles like Drew Sample, and it's pretty evident why, man. I mean, at the Senior Bowl, I thought he was very sneaky, athletic, good hands, looked like a viable blocker. So, yeah, I'm excited about this one. I don't think that we're going to get 60 attempts a game from Burrow, but, yeah, I think Drew Sample's going to get a lot of targets. He may not continue at that clip, but I would expect he's going to still be pretty involved. So yeah, I think you're getting a good player that's going to get the targets, good game scripts, for him. So yeah, I think you can definitely be interested in Drew Sample. And the thing about him is, usually we wouldn't spend more than minimum on any really tight end on the wire. I mean, it's rare we spend more than minimum, but you shouldn't have to spend much more than minimum on Sample. And I think there's a real chance he could be just your starter the rest of the season.
People are asking about Mo Alie-Cox. I worry that, they had talked so much about what a big part of that offense that Trey Burton was, and we're expecting him back week 4. So when we get Trey Burton back, we get Jack Doyle back, I think that Mo Alie-Cox might turn back into a pumpkin, but certainly, I mean, what he was able to do on 5 targets, I forgot who I heard say it on Twitter. It's like, it's so full, Jack Doyle is never going to have a 5 target, 111 yard game. It's just, that's not going to happen. So, that could be another thing, you know, genie out of the bottle is pretty, pretty hard to put back in. Any final takes on tight end before you want to get into, quarterbacks or streaming defense?
Not necessarily. I thought it was interesting what Tyler Eifert did last week. You're reminded that he's reunited with Jay Gruden in this whole deal too, man. Weren't those two were together back in Cincinnati, if I can remember correctly.
Yeah, and Eifert's, I guess, first 2 years or something like that. The one thing I wanted to point out is that we haven't gone in exact order here. So if you want to know Byron's exact free agent budget bid recommendations and how he stacks these players up in their tiers, you can go to rosterwatch.com. Go over there and get a pro membership. Sign up is quick and it's easy. And before we move on to this next part, wherever I ask him if which players we can drop and get those loaded up in chat. If you have questions about like should I drop this dude or should I drop this dude, am I cool to drop him? Load him up in chat. I have a couple written here. First, we tell you that it is fall already, if you can believe it or not. And at my bookie, that can only mean one thing: it is winning season. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means free bets, super contests, survival pools, and more. At my bookie, winning season is all about your chance to win big. It's simple. Make your picks, win big, collect your cash. Invest in your intuition. Select from hundreds of futures bets so you can bet games in real time with my bookie's live betting. Put that big brain of yours to use. Use promo code ROSTER, ROSTER, and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. So what that is new customers are going to receive a 100% deposit match. That's double your first deposit for any amount up to $1,000. So if you wanted to put $100 in on mybookie.ag to gamble with or make your prop bets with or, you know, playing a weekly, you know, survivor pool or super contest, you get an extra $100 on top of that. But you have to use promo code ROSTER. Thousands of cross-sport wagers, props, and parlays await. Sign up now and bet with the best and celebrate your victory. Your winning season begins today only at MyBookie, and you can only get that new deposit or deposit bonus 100% by using promo code ROSTER. Okay. Byron, the people want to know if they can drop these idiots. They want to know if they can drop these assholes. I've made a list. Jordan Howard.
I mean, yeah, you could drop him for somebody like I would drop him for maybe, you know, any of the top five running backs on the list.
We already talked about Paris Campbell. Matt Breida.
Let's just double check here. So we had Matt Breida, 21% snap count, 8 touches. 2 targets. That's pretty ugly, man. 11% for Jordan Howard. Yeah, I mean, I think you can drop. Yeah, you could drop either of those guys if you have to.
Tevin Coleman.
You just can't afford. You can't play that game. What are you doing? What are you really doing if you're playing that game? It doesn't make any sense.
No,
if you don't have the guy that's not. If you don't have the Dolphins running back that's popping right now. Then what the hell are you doing? You're literally just going to like stash one of those guys and wait to see if they pay off later in the season.
I don't know. What about I'm just asking the questions. What about Tevin Coleman?
That's close. You know, that's close. Maybe for the top, I probably would only drop him for the top 3 to 5 running backs on the sheet.
I have a different opinion. If you have him on your team, fucking drop him. Pick up somebody else. See if you can get somebody to create. I mean, he's going to be out. I mean,
I'm just saying that when you look below that, I guess why not drop him for a Miles Gaskin? I think it's fair.
For somebody. Just get him off your team.
That's fair. It's unfortunate because he could add a little bit of a crack here, you know? Yeah.
Keelan Cole, somebody asked in the chat.
I mean, Trashman would tell you to keep him if you needed like a wide receiver 4, a deep flex play. I mean, he's
would you drop him for LaVisca?
Oh God, and like no question.
Of course you do. Yeah. Can we just drop Denzel Mims?
Yeah, there's a lot of guys. I think in a deep league you could also keep your eye on him. But yeah, I think there's plenty of guys you could pick up over Denzel Mims.
What do we do with Cam Akers?
Sounds like it's just rib cartilage and he's day to day. So you keep him, right?
What do we do with Benny Snell?
Trade him to the James Conner owner.
Yeah. And Chase Edmonds?
Trade him to the Drake owner.
What if you can't and you really want to pick somebody up?
I think you're playing with fire, man. I don't want to have a disaster with that backfield, man. That's two. If Drake goes down, it could be wheels up for Chase Edmonds, yeah. Man. It's too good of a team. You want to be tied to that thing. You can't take the risk.
And see, I mean, and one thing that we should say is if you have a backup quarterback or a backup tight end, and if you're asking these questions about dropping guys like Edmonds, you're doing it wrong. You shouldn't be dropping a running back or a wide receiver when you have a backup tight end or a backup quarterback.
Or drop your kicker. Drop your kicker and pick up a guy so you can at least get a little more information over the next few days so you can make really sure who it is you have to drop if it's a tough decision. Or it gives you time to try to make a trade and clear up that roster spot.
Yeah, that's a good call. Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, to me, he's droppable.
Adrian Peterson.
Droppable if you need to.
And Boston Scott.
Droppable.
Get him the hell out of here.
See you later, Boston Scott.